You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you've been listening to Cap Radio for any time over the last 24 years, you no doubt have heard the soothing and distinctive voice of our Donna Appadoni. She really has done it all here. She's hosted the Midday Show on the Music Station, Cap Radio Reads, even Insight, and for the past 21 years, she keeps us moving, grooving, and up to date on Morning Edition.
This is Morning Edition on Cap Radio. It's 6 o'clock. This is listener-supported Cap Radio News. It's 7:21. It's 7:51. It's 8:19. It's 8:49. It's 8:51. Insight is next. It's 9 o'clock.
Donna is that familiar voice who guides us through our morning with her one-of-a-kind charm and, of course, calm. When the news is tough and the world is seemingly turned upside down, listening to Donna gives us that sense of peace, clarity, and that feeling of everything is going to be all right. Well, tomorrow, yes, tomorrow is Donna's last day as host of Morning Edition. I sat down with Donna about the decades of meaningful conversation she's led here at Cap Radio. Well, Donna, I just want to say, you know, being a relative newbie at Cap Radio, being here for a year and a half, I'm just so grateful that you are often the first person I would see in the morning. You're so welcoming and warm. Aww. And I was a listener for so many years. And I feel so special that I actually got to experience you in person.
Well, same. Likewise, you have brought so much to the show. And it's such a joy working with you during the book segments, but also just running into each other in the hallway. It's always fun to see you.
Our shared love for Foo Fighters.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, it's hard to say it. Tomorrow is it. We're obviously going to miss you tremendously. But the big question, why and why now?
Well, first, I have to say I have the best job in town. I don't hesitate for a moment. Maybe the best job in the state. I absolutely love my job. I'm not leaving for any reasons that have to do with anything other than that, because I love it. It was a hard decision to make, and it took me several years of thinking it over and how do I want to do this and when. And I never thought that I'd be part of what we've been calling the Great Resignation, but it's time. You know, 21 years, I have raised a generation of listeners. People who were born when I started doing Morning Edition have or will soon graduate from college. That's mind-boggling to me. But I also had a reality check about a little over a year ago. A really good friend of mine contracted a terrible disease. It was not COVID, but something that he will not fully recover from. And in the first few days of that, when he was in hospital and heavily drugged, I was talking to him on the phone, and he started crying, and he started saying, I'm just thinking of all the things I thought I would do someday, and now I never will. And he kept babbling on, and my brain just stopped there, and I said, this is it. There are so many things that I don't want to put off any longer. So I thought, this is the time to do. And also, as a person who meditates a lot and goes through that process a lot, I spend a lot of time wondering what I would do next, what would be next. And what I kept hearing in my voice, in my own head, was there are stories to tell. And they're not my stories, but I'm the conduit, so I'm going to tell them.
Yeah. I mean, we're so layered. And even though we can be passionate about something, it is just a piece of us, right? Yeah. And there's only 24 hours
in
the day.
Right.
So to devote more time, and I'm happy you're devoting more time to other parts of yourself and other passions. I also love, as a writer, words are very important to you. You use the term graduation as opposed to leaving or retiring. Yeah. Why does that resonate with you?
Well, I'm not retiring. I'm just stepping away from Morning Edition. I still have to work for a living. This job allowed me to write and produce and interview people, which are three things I love to do, but there wasn't the time to do that and host Morning Edition. So I will still be writing. I will still be producing somewhere. You might be surprised where I pop up, but I'm certainly not retiring.
Yeah, and you're not going far.
No.
So this is it sounds simple question, but it's pretty loaded when you've been the host for 21 years. What are you going to miss most?
I'm going to miss the people I work with. You know, I've worked with Steve Milne for all these years. He's fabulous. He is just the most amazing person. I'm really going to miss the partnership that I have with him. I'm going to miss the connection that I have with our listeners. Because, you know, you go in the community and there's always somebody you run into who's talking about Cap Radio or wants to know about Cap Radio. It's a very personal connection that everyone here has with everyone who's listening. So I'll miss that. But the whole CAP Radio team, we have the most amazing people who work here. Some are technical, some are writers, some are, you know, all these different talents that our team has. And as you said, just walking in the building and seeing all these people, I'll miss everybody here so much.
Yeah, when it comes to newsrooms, you know, the work culture can be challenging at times, you know, when I've been through multiple.
Yeah.
And I completely agree with you about CAP Radio.
There are some things about radio, too, in
right.
general that I'll miss, like the craft of radio. You know, we have certain things that we do that are traditions or unwritten rules that we do. And the craft of radio has always been really important to me. There's something that we do called hitting the post. It's when you end what you're saying and you end it at a precise time because the network comes up next and you don't want to bump into that other voice. That's called hitting the post. And I can truly tell you that through my entire career, every time I hit the post, I get a rush from it. So I will miss that precision that we have in our talking and knowing when to end everything. You know what else I noticed on Friday morning? The Friday song that plays after Marketplace Morning yeah. Report. I'm always dancing around in the studio. And we also have to say on a regular basis that you can find us online or on your CAP Radio app. Well, you know, it's Appadonia. I'm like, no, I'm your CAP Radio app. So, you know, I'll miss that little joke, all of the little things that we do around here.
Especially when it comes to time, you have like an eagle sense when it comes to like the economy of time, what a second, what 10 seconds feels like.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably have an internal stopwatch.
I feel like I do. Exactly. Yeah.
So with any job, is there anything that you won't miss?
My cousin asked me what the first thing would be that I would do after I finish. And I said, I am going to take those alarm clocks and throw them out the window. I have a couple of alarms on my phone, a couple of actual alarm clocks. I set 4 alarms because I'm terrified I'll oversleep. I will not miss getting up early.
Yeah. Well, take us behind the scenes. What surprises people about your job?
I don't think that people know that I stand up all day. You stand throughout your show.
Yeah, but you do it for hours.
Yeah, I stand throughout my show. So it's about 6 hours that I'm standing in that studio. But I'm also dancing my way through the morning. And it's harder to do that when you're sitting down. There's a lot of great music that plays during Morning Edition. And I just love to bop around that studio and enjoy that. We also have a tradition in radio of you talk to just one person. You don't talk to a big crowd of all the people because that's too much to fathom. But if you talk to one person and imagine who that is and what they're doing, then you make a different kind of connection. So I do that all the time, too. So when people say, I feel like you're talking just to me, I am.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love leading with that intention and kind of forgetting that you're actually talking to thousands of people,
yeah.
you know, in the morning. Often you're the first voice they hear.
Oh, I know.
So
yeah.
Take us back before CAP Radio, like where you grew up and what really got you into being interested in broadcasting and radio.
I grew up in Maryland and Ohio. I didn't come to California until 1998 when I started here at the station. But I remember being intrigued, 9, 10 years old, being intrigued. It was music that I was listening to on the radio. I didn't really think about being in any kind of news coverage at that time. But I was intrigued by it very early at a pretty young age.
Was there a specific moment when it hit you? You got bit by the radio bug?
Yeah. You know, my parents had a friend who worked for a radio station. And one day we decided to go see what does this guy do at work? And I remember going into that station and saying, oh, yeah, you know, this is really cool. But I think the coolness of it really attracted me more than anything else. Like, this is really cool. I want to be cool, too. Then in college, a lot of us in college worked at a PBS station in our college town. I was doing more production and working on a floor crew. I never really thought about being on air at all. For some reason, when I got out of college, I instead of going down the path I thought I'd have as a TV producer, I ended up working at a radio station instead, being on air, which I hadn't really expected to do. And there you go. That was it.
And the rest was history. What drew you to CAP Radio? And not only because, you know, with this business, like we can bounce around, you know, after every couple of years, but you stayed here for a couple decades. What drew you to CAP Radio?
Well, there were years before those couple of decades when I did bounce around. So I had my time of bouncing around. I was hired as director of development, like the chief fundraiser. Well, we've grown so much, I would never be able to do that job now. I had a background in producing on-air fund drives, and I had a leadership role in a national fundraising initiative. So it looked like I would be a very good person to have that job. But after 2.5 years of that, I'd be happy to go back on air. And the Morning Edition job was open at that point. It's really funny because some of the people I worked with at that time said, oh, I don't know, are you going to go to host Morning Edition? That's really going to hurt your career. But I think it's worked out okay.
Yeah. I absolutely think so. And given that you've worked in various radio stations, what drew you to the mission of CAP Radio?
It doesn't take long to fall in love with public radio or public TV. It happens very easily. In my case, I was working at a commercial radio station, but I was listening to the NPR station in the area. It filled in a couple of times, and when they had an opening, they called me. And it's just a no-brainer once you get inside a station. If you like NPR, you want to work for NPR affiliates.
Yep. Yeah. Yep, I agree with you on that. All right, 21 years as host of Morning Edition, and you've been just such a trusted voice in the mornings for so long. When people wake up, you may be the first person they hear.
Some clouds today, some showers in the higher elevations. Tomorrow and Sunday should be a lot sunnier for everyone. Coming up on Morning Edition, people in low-income areas of Stockton will soon have new options for transportation, shared electric bikes and cars that will be available for a low rate. Sacramento has one of the largest communities of recently arrived Ukrainian immigrants, one of the largest in the country. We'll find out how their faith is guiding them coming up in about 15 minutes. StoryCorps will make you cry today. We're going to hear about brothers. One of them recently died of cancer. We'll hear the story that the two of them did together and then an update from the brother who remains. Early results are in from California's primary election. It looks like at least one Sacramento City Council race will run off in November. Yeah, that was fun. I'm Donna Appadoni. This is Morning Edition on CAP Radio. It's Friday.
I mean, we really just got a spectrum of, I mean, there really is kind of like a melody to this. Like, you really have to go with, the topics can be so far-ranging. StoryCorps, I love StoryCorps, but it's absolutely usually a tearjerker. Yeah. I mean, there's so much responsibility and skill and listening that comes with what you do every morning.
Yeah. It feels like a big responsibility sometimes. I think of it as the person who wants to connect with everyone listening, depending on what's going on in the world. So some days, we're dancing because there's happy news going on Morning Edition. Some days it's tragic news, and that's when I put my arm around you. You know, that's when I have to be very present with what's going on with every listener. It's connection. It's empathy. There are also a lot of people who complain about one thing or another about the station, so we have to be generous in listening and sorting through those things, too. But it's compassion. It's empathy.
Yeah, a lot of thoughtfulness on your part, which in turn you get a lot of trust from people. Yeah. What does that trust mean to you personally?
It's really intimidating at first. I had to learn how to deal with that over time. But after a while, you step into it. You say, oh, if this is my job, if this is what people expect of me, then this is what I have to do. And you step into that role and you get it done. So it's, you know, it gets easier. It's also an enormous compliment when somebody says they trust you and you want to live up to that. And I try to live up to it every day.
Absolutely. You know, just morning after morning, all the stories you've taken in, what moments will you remember forever while hosting Morning Edition?
StoryCorps is a great example. Now, after StoryCorps, there's a promo for All Things Considered, but it used to be that I was the first thing that someone would hear after StoryCorps. I was always crying. So that was one of them. Everything in COVID just broke me down. There were so many times when I just couldn't even talk as I was crying. Those stories were just so hard for all of us to hear. We have to remain neutral. no matter what the news is, no matter what our personal feelings are, election results, you know, how we feel about any kind of political issue or any social issue, and just maintaining a steady voice through all of that has been something that I've had to keep in mind and had to remember. I love stories about immigration because of my own family. I'm always listening to those, and those are moments for me. There is one other moment that I have to tell you about. Gina Spadafore, who is just the pet queen, used to do a segment on Insight all the time, and she'd bring in animals. And one time, she'd bring in baby goats. Who doesn't love baby goats? One time, she brought in bats. One time, she brought in a little puppy. Well, if there's a little puppy in the building, I'm there. So I said, I'm sorry, Gina, I'm going to kidnap your little puppy and have that puppy in my studio to do the last break. Well, Gina is so good at training her dogs. They had the little dog on the floor next to me, and I'm standing in front of the control board. And the little dog was trying to look at what was going on the control board. And I said, oh, are you looking up there? So well trained, even as a puppy, that he heard the word up and immediately jumped onto the control board. The sound for a couple of seconds was like, because he was pushing all the buttons and all the wrong things. But that's a moment I'm going to remember for a long time.
Yeah, I can imagine. You know, we mentioned a few moments ago that you had many, many different hats here over the years at CAP Radio. What were some of your favorite hats?
Oh, that's really hard to say because there are so many great moments. I really, Steve Milley and I drove out to the coastal area a few years ago to interview Mickey Hart.
Grateful Dead.
Yeah, that was a big moment. I really enjoyed that. It's really hard to say what the greatest moments are because there have been so many and it's been 21 years. It's a little hard to answer.
Well, we're going to listen to a clip when you actually were hosts for Weekend Exchange.
On the next Weekend Exchange, a comprehensive look at Sacramento's surprisingly successful poetry scene.
It's not quite as exclusive or trendy as you might imagine in cities like New York, but these are heartfelt poets, and Sacramento has kind of a flavor that's very plain spoken.
Poet Laureate Emeritus Viola Weinberg, one of the voices we'll hear from this Saturday on Weekend Exchange at 6 a.m. on the NPR station and at 5 p.m. on the Classical station.
Oh, I love that. When was Weekend Exchange around?
I can't even remember what years those were, but it was sort of a precursor to Insight. There wasn't Insight at the time. It was just a weekly show. And I have to admit, all I did was host that. Other people, I occasionally put together a story, but mostly it was other people's stories coming together and someone would hand me a script or I would write part of the script and I would host that. But I wasn't as involved in that as you are as host of Insight. Big difference.
You've actually filled in as host for
a
Insight.
A couple of times early on.
Jeffrey Callison.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick listen.
Uh-oh. From KXJZ in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Donna Appadone, in for Jeffrey Callison. On today's show, a mother tells her biracial son the truth about his father. The story, with its mix of emotions, is on stage this weekend. And the California International Marathon is this Sunday.
You're blushing.
Where did you find that? I can't believe the old sound, the old audio that's hanging around here. Well, I just absolutely love doing that. And it was fun to fill in for Jeffrey a couple of times.
Yeah. And I guess, where does your love for interviewing people come from?
Well, I'm basically an introvert in an extrovert's job. So, you know, if I go to parties, I don't want to talk about myself. So I start asking people about that. You know, tell me about yourself. What do you think about this or that? And it just sort of turned into interviewing.
Yeah.
But I love interviewing people. I just love to get people talking about themselves. And I'm really hoping that that's a big part of my next life, the next part of my career.
I 100% connect with that.
Yeah.
Someone asks how I'm doing, I say fine, but then I'll ask like a slew of questions about them.
Exactly.
You know, just get the attention off
exactly,
me.
Exactly.
That's probably why, you know, I'm a journalist. So
you
also enjoy hosting long format interviews, and you interviewed Madeleine Albright. How was that experience?
It was amazing. She was amazing. It was actually one of several live interviews I did for a Sacramento Public Library system. Rivka Sass was the director of the system at the time. And it should have been an in-person interview with a live audience, but it was just after the lockdown or during the lockdown in 2020. So we had to do it all by Zoom. There was a live audience, but we had to do that. It's probably the only time I've been really nervous about an interview because it's Madeleine Albright. Oh my gosh. She's just so gracious and so amazing. But the funny thing was that even though you could only see head and shoulders on Zoom, I still felt like I should get dressed up. I had a suit on and a lapel pin because she always wore lapel pins. But I didn't put shoes on. For some reason, I just was barefoot. Mm. I had an end-of-life pet in my house at the time, and I put that pet in a room on the other side of the house so there wouldn't be any sound during the interview. And I thought, I'm going to check on her one more time before the interview starts. Didn't realize that she had had an accident, so I stepped in some pet pee.
Oh, no.
So 5 minutes before my interview with Madeleine Albright, I'm cleaning myself up.
Of course, you're trying to be, like, calm and composed.
Yes,
and,
everything's fine, Madam Secretary. But I came out of that thinking, you know, if I can interview Madeleine Albright having stepped in pet pee, I can do just about anything.
Well, listen, let's listen to part of it.
Madam Secretary, welcome.
Well, it's great to be with you, Donna, and with this wonderful virtual audience. I'm looking forward to your questions and having a good time.
You are wearing a pin that I have to ask you about because you're famous for your pins. How did it get to be a practice of yours to wear pins?
It was after the end of the Gulf War. The ceasefire had been translated into a series of sanctions resolutions, and my instructions were to make sure that the sanctions stayed on. So I said perfectly terrible things about Saddam Hussein constantly. There was a poem that appeared in the papers in Baghdad comparing me to many things, but among them an unparalleled serpent. And so I happened to have a snake fin, and I decided to wear it when I talked about Iraq. After a session of the Security Council, I came out and one of the cameras turned and the reporter said, "Why are you wearing that snake pin?" And I said, "Because Saddam Hussein compared me to an unparalleled serpent." And then I thought, well, this is fun. So I went out and I bought a lot of costume jewelry to reflect what I thought we were going to do on any given day. So on good days, I wore flowers and butterflies and balloons. And on bad days, I wore a lot of carnivorous animals and spiders and things. And the other ambassadors would say, "What are we going to do today?" And I said, "Read my pins." And that's how it all started.
Which was at the same time that President Bush was saying, "Read my lips," right?
Exactly. Sort of in that same... Yeah, I copied, actually.
Intimidation through lapel pins.
Exactly. She was such a character, but such a brilliant person. And everyone, what I heard when she passed earlier this year, was that everyone who worked with her absolutely adored her. Yeah. And I can see why.
Did you interview Terry Gross with Fresh Air?
I did interview
she's
Terry Gross.
She doesn't usually do interviews. She's an interviewer. She doesn't really share a lot about herself.
I don't know how many years ago this was. We were at a conference, a public radio conference, and they had a little booth set up where you could interview Terry Gross for like 5 minutes or two questions or something like that. And somewhere in the world, there is a photograph of me interviewing Terry Gross. I mean, how often does that happen that she's willing to, sort of like me right now, on being on the receiving end of an interview is a little uncomfortable.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're devoting the rest of the show to say goodbye to CAP Radio Morning Edition host Donna Ampadone, who will be signing off tomorrow after more than two decades at CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.